بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers. Okay, so inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be continuing with our discussion of Surah Al-Fatiha. So last month, we just had a bit of introduction to the surah. We talked about the isti'adha, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, and also the basmala, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and the various names of this surah. And I think you did a recording, Karim, so I think it's been chunked up into various sections. So that can, if people missed it, they can actually listen to that, inshallah ta'ala. So today, really, we want to focus on the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha with this expression, Alhamdulillah. And we'll spend some time on this today, going into some detail and some depth, really. And again, the purpose of these sessions is try to look at both the message as well as the miracle. And that's one of the key things about the Quran. The Quran is simultaneously miraculous and also a message, which is the unique miracle of Islam. All the previous prophets and Anbiya, their miracles were separate to their message, and it was temporary. And Quran is the final miracle that will be to the end of time. Alhamdulillah. So some of the key points we will discuss tonight is why the usage of the word hamd, as in Alhamdulillah. And you will find that, and this is a problem with translation. Translation is you have to choose, right? You're giving a particular word, and that word can be expressed in different ways in another language, and you have to make a best approximation. That's what you're doing. You're making a best approximation for translation. So hamd, it's been translated as to praise, but we will look at this word, why hamd, and not other words which have similar meanings, and why they were not chosen in this particular occasion. So why hamd and not madh or shukr? These are other terms which have similar meanings to the word hamd. Then we will look at why isn't it a verbal sentence? Now, in Arabic, we have two types of sentence structures. We have what they call a verbal sentence, and begins with a verb, hence the name, verbal sentence. And we have what they call a nominal sentence, which begins with a noun. They're called nominal sentence. So Alhamdulillah is actually a nominal sentence, and it's not a verbal sentence. And why is this particular sentence type as opposed to the other, and what are the implications of that? The meaning of the word al, well, not the word, this what you see, this alif lam, which is attached to the word ham, this particle, if you like, what does it actually mean? Al has different connotations and different meanings as well. So we'll look at that. Four is it an informative or a non-informative sentence? Again, sentences can be divided into sentences which are informative, that it actually describes a certain reality in the external world, which either could be true or it could be false, or a sentence which is non-informative, is not describing a reality in the external world, the test of whether being true or false doesn't really apply, such as commands and wishes and desires. So we'll look at that question as well. And And that does this verse require the particle of emphasis? Yeah. You know, using inna. So, for example, you probably hear in khutbas and things like that, inna alhamdulillah. Yeah. As opposed to alhamdulillah. So, is why not use inna? Inna alhamdulillah. And why not use it in this particular occasion? And then next one, six, should the prepositional phrase be brought forward? So what is the prepositional phrase? Is that lillah, that lam, and the lafzul jalala together, we see lillah, it's called a prepositional phrase. So it could have been lillahi alhamd. Yeah, could have been lillahi alhamd. But it's not, it is alhamdulillah. So what's the significance of that? And why use the name Allah? You know, alhamdulillah, why not alhamdu lil khaliq or alhamdu lil rahman or alhamdu lil ghafur or some other names or other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why lillah? Why lafzul jalala? So these are some of the key talking points as we go through it. As you can see, you know, it's such a small phrase, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. When you're considering all these different dimensions regarding that, it actually carries very important and very vast sets of meaning in this. So let's go to the first question. And by the way, brothers, as I'm sort of speaking, just by all means interrupt, you know, make a comment, ask a question. The idea isn't that I speak for, you know, 45 minutes and then you ask your question, right? Then it's time to go home. So by all means, just interrupt. So why hamd and not madh or shukr? Now, the meaning of hamd, let me just talk about the meaning of hamd is actually to page to is a thana. Thana is paying homage, right? You know, homage, when you pay homage, showing respect, showing appreciation, gratitude, homage. And it's actually paid for a favor, for a grace. Whether the favor or something else, with love and reverence. That's what hamd is actually showing, paying homage for a favor or something else with deep appreciation and love and reverence, right? So if we look at this this meaning of hamd and then compare it to madh and shukr, right? So madh, you know, again, in English, you would translate it as praise as well, right? But madh, it may be expressed for something living and non-living, right? So, for example, you can show appreciation for, you know, non-living things like pearls and gems, right? You can show appreciation for that. You can kind of say, you know, what beautiful set of pearls, right? You're actually doing mud, yeah. But not express hamd, right? Because hamd is more specifically for things which has intelligence, right? It's for things which are intelligent, right? So you may give hamd to a person, right? But you will not give hamd to, you know, non-living things like pearls and gems, right? So you can see mud is more general than hamd in that respect. Also, you know, hamd is for all praises for kindness, whether it reaches you or others, right? So you may actually show hamd to someone for their kindness to you or to someone else, yeah. So that's one of the key things about hamd itself. Madh may be given before or, you know, before an act of kindness, for the one praise, where hamd is generally after a kind of act, after kindness. Some madh is actually forbidden to actually to praise. So there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talks about not giving, you know, not praising, you know, somebody because in their face, etc. Because if you do that, it might lead to them being more arrogant and more prideful. Yeah. So some types of madh is actually forbidden. On the other hand, hamd is generally commended, right? Madh is to express someone who possesses some virtuous attributes. While hamd pertains to one particular, kindness or generosity. So you can see the some of the differences. Yeah. So hamd is, you know, is more, madh is more general than hamd. Hamd is for all praises, whether it reaches you or others. Hamd is generally after kindness. Hamd is generally commended, where madh may be forbidden at times. And hamd is for something which is rational, right? Not for irrational things. Okay. Now, if we compare shukr. Shukr is for kindness that actually reaches you. So you actually show thankfulness. When somebody actually does something for you, actually thank them, right, for a favor. So you can see shukr is much more specific. So now, in this sense, you get the idea of why hamd is being used. So some key points to think about is that, you know, hamd, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is aqil. Aqil in the sense that, you know, intelligent, right, is not. And that praise is for his attributes and his names and his... and for the favors that you may get, or you may not get, someone else get, but he deserves the praise. So this is what we mean by hamd. Now, obviously, in this sense, hamd is more general, and it includes shukr, because when you receive a praise, you are actually, when you receive a benefit or a blessing, you are actually doing shukr, but in that sense, you are praising as well. So often you find Alhamdulillah is translated as all praise and thanks, right? And thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So so this is the meaning of hamd. So for example, in Lisan al-Arab, which is the Arabic dictionary, it mentions that hamd and shukr are similar. But hamd is more general of the two because you praise a person for his intrinsic qualities and for his giving, but you will not make shukr for someone's characteristics. That's another point he is making, is that shukr is usually for for an act somebody's doing to you, where hamd is actually, they may not do an act or not, but you may actually praise them for some intrinsic qualities that they actually have, whether you receive a particular benefit or not. So these are the various meanings of hamd. So Imam Ar-Razi, I just mentioned some quotes here. He said, Alhamd, also he talking about Alhamd when he was commenting on it, he said, Al-Madh, which is to compliment, may be expressed for both living and non-living entities. One who sees an incredibly beautiful pearl or gem might express mud for them, but it is impossible that he would give hamd. The former, mud, is more general, more encompassing, the latter. So this is the meaning of hamd. Any points?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the hadith of that we shouldn't praise somebody on their face.
Yeah.
But also here it says, you know, hamd is generally commended. So because say if someone does an act of kindness to you.
Yeah.
So if we praising them for that, for their generosity, so that wouldn't be classified in that.
No, I mean that's showing your appreciation. Yeah, okay. You can thank, you're thanking them really. Okay. You're doing shukr. So hamd, you remember, it's not only thanking, but it's showing praise for some intrinsic quality. So, you know, for example, you know, you may actually, somebody, Zaid, you know, he's very knowledgeable.
Mm.
You say, Zaid's very knowledgeable, you know, wow. You're not really thanking him, you're actually praising him for some qualities that he has.
Mm.
If
he's given you some knowledge, you
know, then you can thank him for that. Yeah, that's right. So these are the meanings. And there's something quite interesting. If you look at the word hamd and mad, those two words, they're made of the same root letters,
yeah.
Right? So ha, mim, dal, then you've got, you know, mim, dal, ha. So same root letters, and this, there is something in the Arabic language where there's a particular science whereby they use the same root letters, but by changing the ordering of the letters, they still have the same root meaning, but it gives a kind of different flavor of that meaning. So if you look at hamd, you know, has the meaning of praise, and mud has the meaning of praise, but because they use the same root letters, there has the notion of praise, right? But by changing the wording or the order of the letters, you kind of create some differentiation, right? So hamd is for rational, mad is for, you know, can be for rational and non-rational, right? Hamd is for appreciation after an act, yeah? Mad is for before an act, yeah? But all of them got the same kind of root meaning. So you know, is there really a such thing as, you know, identical words with identical meanings? There isn't really. There's always going to be some different connotations. So this is an interesting subject in morphology, what they called the greater morphology, of how words are coined, and the different ordering of the letters, base letters, will have essentially the same meanings, but will give different connotation. Yeah.
It's the fact that the favours of Allah are constant.
Constant. Yes.
So you always receive them. I mean, even the air we breathe.
Of course. Yeah.
There's never a time you're not in receipt of a favour from Allah.
In actuality, yes, right? But whether people continuously think that, consciously?
Yeah, and it's just the hamd is...
Yeah, so...
For Allah, there's this constant...
Yeah, constant. Yeah. And this is going to be one of the points that's going to be raised later on. Why is this a nominal sentence or not a verbal sentence? Yeah, because that alhamdulillah is actually a statement of fact, you know, whether you believe in it or not, right? So that's going to be a point. So hamd has this meaning of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his his attributes, his power, his capability.
It's celestial angels that do nothing but praise
Allah. Of course, yeah.
And that's all they do. They actually just praise Allah. That's what they're
praying. Yeah. Let's move to the next point, inshallah. Right. So why isn't it a verbal sentence? Right. Okay. Just talking about sentence types in Arabic language. In English, if you think about the sentence types, right, the sentence always begins with a subject, right? The person who's doing something, right? Then you have the actual verb, then you have the object, right? So, you know, Zayd went to the mosque, right? So you've got Zayd, right? You've got the verb, went, and then to the mosque here, which is the object, right? That's how it works in the English language. Now, in the Arabic language, you know, you can start a sentence, right, with a noun, right? And you can start a sentence with a verb. So you can say, in the Arabic language, you can say Zayd went to the mosque in two ways, right? So you can say, you know, ذهب زيدٌ إلى المسجد, right? Or you can say, you know, زيدٌ ذهب إلى المسجد. You can say it both ways. But to us, it sounds, the meaning will be, when you translate it, you're always going to translate Zayd went to the mosque. You will never translate it went Zayd to the mosque, right? But in Arabic, you can have two types of structures, right? You can have a sentence that begins with a noun, right? And you can have a sentence that actually begins with a verb. And this gives the flexibility and the power of the Arabic language. Because and Arabic...
The meanings will still not change, isn't it?
No, the meanings, the basic meaning will still be there, right? The basic meaning is still there. Right, that Zayd went to the mosque, right? So how can this be a verbal sentence? So we could say this in a number of ways. We could say, for example, Ahmadulillah. Ahmad, that would be a verbal sentence because Ahmadu, I praise. Yeah, Ahmadu, or I am praising Allah. Ahmadulillah, yeah. Or you can say, Nahmadulillah. We praise, yeah? So we could actually say it this way, yeah? I praise, we praise, yeah? As opposed to Alhamdulillah. Now, the thing to realize about verbal sentence, every verb, it has a doer, right? And the doer, which was the subject, who carries out the action. And the action always happens in time. It can happen in the past, it can happen in the present, or it can happen in the future. And also, it has a place, right? Action always has a place as well where it happens. So you find that the verb of the action is actually... restricted, yeah, by who's doing it, restricted by when it's done, whether it's in the past or the present or in the future, and it's restricted by possibly by time, place as well, where it's done, and so forth. So if we said, for example, Ahmadulillah, what does that mean? I'm praising Allah, yeah. You have restricted the praising of Allah to yourself. That's what you've done, right? You've actually said, well, and it's kind of precluding others who are also praising Allah, right? So that's a important point. So if we say, for example, you know, Nahmadulillah, we praise, then we are restricting the praise to us, yeah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what Alhamdulillah does, all praise to Allah, it removes the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from anyone who is actually praising Him. So whether you praise Him or you don't praise Him, He is praised. Irrespective of your praising or not your praising. So this is why we find that Alhamdulillah is a more suitable expression in this case, which is more fitting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? because we're talking about Allah, who is Allah, and He deserves all the praise, whether you actually do the praising, whether we do the praising, irrespective. It's not restricted to the subject.
Just got a nominal sentence? Or is it...
So, Alhamdulillah is a nominal sentence, and Ahmadulillah, or Nahmadullah, or Ahmadullah, is a verbal sentence. Okay? Now, secondly, when you say, you know, Ahmadu Fulana, right, I praise such and such, right, it doesn't necessarily mean that he actually deserves praise. He may not deserve praise. Yeah, you were saying it, but does he actually deserves it, or actually he doesn't deserve it? So, you know, so you may actually thank someone, but, you know, he may not deserve to be thanked, right? So in this way, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this way, is that, you know, when we say Ahmadullah, yeah, you are informing of your action, and it does not mean that whoever you are praising is deserving of praise. Whereas Alhamdulillah informs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of the praise, and it is not connected with a determined subject or doer as well, right? So that's not necessarily deserving of it. Mm-hmm. Number three, connected with a specific time, right? So that's another one. With the verbal sentence, it's always linked. Mm-hmm. So for example, we say, you know, Ahmadullah, I praise Allah. It's either you're praising Him now, right? But, you know, so it's like, okay, He's deserving praise, but His praise is limited to now only. What about the future? Yeah, or what about the past as well, right? So the verbal sentence is restricting it in terms of the time in which the praise is taking place, where Alhamdulillah is timeless. Yeah, He deserves praise, whether you praise Him now or in the past or in the future. It's transcendent of any time or place as well.
Is that Alhamd? A verbal noun.
It's a verbal noun. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Praising. Yeah. So let's look at some points here. Imam al-Razi, he said, indeed, if it had said, you know, Ahmadullah, Imam al-Razi, if you remember from before, Ahmadullah, it's, you know, I praise Allah, then it informs of the existence of the speaker who is able to praise Him. As for when it said, when He subhanahu wa ta'ala said Alhamdulillah, He has informed that He was praised before praise of those who praise. He was praised before of those who praise, and before thanking of those who thank. So those, regardless whether they praise or did not praise, and regardless whether they thanked or did not thank, therefore, He most exalted is praised before eternity to the end of time, and with His eternal praise and with His eternal words. So here, you know, Alhamdulillah is not restricted to anyone praising Him, and it's not restricted to any time or place, right? So Alhamdulillah is a much superior structure to be used in this sense. Okay. okay. There's an interesting point here. Uh, Another point is with the verbal sentence and a nominal sentence. Verbal sentence has the issue of occurrence because the action is coming into existence, right? Isn't it? Always actions are temporary. They come into existence in a certain time, place, situation, right? So with the verbal sentence is non-continuous, isn't it? Because it's always linked to time and place, right? It's non-continuous. With a nominal sentence is free from time. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? Alhamdulillah. It's not linked to any time. So it has this issue of continuity, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He deserves all praise. It's a continuous thing, right? If Alhamdulillah. Where Ahmadullah, Nahmadullah, it is not continuous. Yeah, it is always temporary. Okay, next point is Hamd. Hamd is a expression regarding the description of the heart, and it is the conviction of the existence of the praised one who is kind and who grants favors and is deserving of glorification and veneration. Therefore, when human beings say with his tongue, Ahmadullah, but his heart was inattentive regarding the befitting meaning of glorification with reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is lying. So, what he's saying is that hamd is actually it's the inner feeling of your heart, right? Of appreciation, right? Now, when you actually say Ahmadullah, Nahmadullah, it is possible that, you know, you don't actually mean it. Yeah, or you are, because it's happening in a time, in a certain context, you don't actually mean it itself, right? It might be belying your true state. So, for example, he's bringing this example, Imam al-Razi brings this example from the Quran. He says here, as for Alhamdulillah, whether he was inattentive or attentive, the meaning of glorification is still valid, whether you mean it or you don't actually mean it with Alhamdulillah. With Ahmadullah and Nahmadullah, you could just say it, but you don't actually, it's not coming from the heart. And he brings the example from the Quran about the munafiqeen, that, you know, for example, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And Allah, He witnesses that the munafiqeen, they are liars. Right? Because, you know, the munafiqeen, they say, we testify that, you know, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So they are saying it because they use the word, you know, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That word, they use it, yeah? But it's not actually what is in their heart, right? So what he's getting at with this point, Alhamdulillah, whether you mean it or you don't mean it, right? It is actually, that word is actually true. With Ahmadullah and Nahmadullah, if it's not in line with your inner intention, right, it could be false. Right? It could be hypocrisy. Right? So Alhamdulillah is a factual, correct statement, where Ahmadullah, Nahmadullah could be not true.
It could be dependent on the person saying it.
Yeah. So Alhamdulillah is okay, whether you mean it or you don't mean it, it's always true. Ahmadullah, Nahmadullah, it could be true and it could be false, right? So this is another point that he's making. So
that applies to all dhikr though, isn't it? If you notice that all dhikr, that's subhanAllah,
they're nominal, generally, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah.
It's never verbal.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. So in Bahr al-Muhit, another tafsir, he made a interesting observation. I'll just read the quote to you. What did he say? He said, and recitation of the nominative, because nominative means nominal sentence, alhamdulillah, is stronger in the meaning. Due to this, the seven recitation unanimously agreed upon it, because it is indicating upon the permanence of the hamd and its establishment for Allah most exalted. Therefore, establishing it for Allah had been informed with the hamd and the most exalted, and whoever made it accusative, it is necessary for its estimated governing agent to be Ahmadullah or Hamidullah. Therefore, Alhamd is specified to its subject, and it informs on renewal and occurrence. All right, and let me explain something. When it's, there was some discussion, if we go back to here, there was some discussions in the books of Tafsir. Rather than saying Alhamdulillah, it's Alhamda, 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 Lillah. So what's the difference? The U-A sound. Alhamdu, Alhamda. Right? Now, you'll notice that in Arabic language, the last letter, yeah, that's the magic letter, in the sense that it really tells you the role of the word in the sentence. So when you say Alhamdu, da or di, right, is telling you what that word is actually doing. It's a sign, it's a clue telling you what that word is doing in the sentence. So he's making a point that those who actually said alhamdulillah, right, is in the what we call the accusative case, alhamda, not in the nominative, alhamdu. They said, well, that assumes something. It assumes that there is a verb before it, right? Because the rule in the Arabic language is that objects, right, will have alhamda, will have the fatha, will be in the accusative, right? The subject, yeah, will be with the dhamma, alhamdu, right? So those who said alhamdulillah, the scholar said, okay, that means you are assuming a omitted verb, because now you've made alhamda to be an object. So what is the omitted verb? Will be, you know, ahmadu, yeah, will be ahmadu, or will be nahmadu, will be any of those types of verbs. Yeah, so you say ahmadullah or hamidullah, and so forth, right? So if you do that, then you make the sentence verbal, even though the verb is not mentioned, right? And if you do, then you restrict it to the person, and you make it is subject to renewal and reoccurrence, as opposed to being permanent. Okay.
There's no recitation, is there, in the seven?
No, not in the seven. Okay. Not in the seven. That's what he mentioned. This unanimously agreed in the seven recitation. That it's in the nominative and it's stronger. The Quran can be recited in seven different recitations, and all those recitations, they are valid. They all came through mutawatir, okay, like continuous chains, okay, right? And sometimes what you will find is that in those seven recitations, okay, there might be minor differences,
okay,
right? And we're going to see, for example, with Maliki Yawmiddin and Maliki Yawmiddin, right? Okay. So you say Maliki Yawmiddin and Maliki Yawmiddin. Both recitations are valid, right? Malik and Malik, right? Both are valid. And they both come through mutawatir, yeah, continuous transmission. Okay. Let's go to, so let's just summarize here then. So firstly, hamd, if we go back to the word hamd is to praise, to praise and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his perfection, his knowledge, his attributes, his majesty, to thank him for his blessings, and this is the meaning of hamd, and why alhamdulillah and not, you know, ahmadullah or nahmadullah, why nominal sentence? Because what you're really saying is that all praise is deserving and due and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether I praise him, whether you praise him, whether we praised him in the past, whether we praise him now, whether we're going to praise him in the future, he is to be to be praised and thanked. He deserves that eternally, right? And that's a statement of fact. Yeah, this is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that he deserves this this hamd. And we went through some of these points, why the verbal sentence was not appropriate. Now, let's move to the next point about the use of al in alhamdulillah.
Have you done the attentiveness?
Yes, so here attentiveness would be required. So, for example, when you say Ahmadullah or you say Nahmadullah, mm-hmm. right? You may say it, but you might not feel it. You might not believe in
it.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, right. You might not believe it. You might not feel it, right? Mm-hmm. And Subhanallah, you know, imagine if we in Salah, sometimes we say Alhamdulillah. We're not really contemplating. Mm-hmm. Not really thinking about it, right? But so you say Ahmadullah, Nahmadullah in Salah. You're saying it, but you're not actually, it's not congruent with your inner feeling. Your statement is not true, right? So in a way, we are saved from that inattentiveness in Salah by saying Alhamdulillah. So whether you were meaning or didn't mean it, that statement is still factually
correct.
Right? So that's a blessing. Right. So what does the al? Let's go to the al. Now, right. You know, the al in the language, this al has different meanings, right? Often we translate the al to be the particle of definiteness, right? Now, it's a really like a complex topic, but I'll just explain some basic points. We have something called this al, a referential alif lam, right? Referential alif lam is something which is known, right, between the speaker and the one you're speaking to, right? So, for example, you know, imagine we're in school or something like that, yeah? And we say, let's go and see the teacher. You and I know, right, who the teacher is. It's known to us. Let's go and see the head teacher, right? You and I know who we are referring to. This is called the referential the, if you like. So here, this hamd, alhamd, yeah, we know what that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, and you know exactly what this hamd is, right? It's known, right? So this is the referential alif lam, which is known. Now, there's what we have, another type of alif lam, which is called of genus, right? And this is basically, you're not talking about a particular thing, right? You're talking about the thing as a category, right? So, for example, you might say the grapes are more expensive than the apples. I'm not talking about specific grapes. I'm not talking about specific apples. I'm talking about the category as a whole, yeah? So, the grapes, all types of grapes, yeah, generally are more expensive than all types of apples, right? So this is the type of, it's called of genus, right? So this is the Alif Lam. So here, in this, the hamd, right, is known between you and Allah, what you're referring to it, and it's all types of hamd. Both meaning, yeah, is valid and is applicable in this, and it's complementary. And here's the beauty of it, I think. Because when you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? When you are praising Him, you always praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in certain context, isn't it? You're always praising, generally praise Allah in certain context. So, I don't know, you got a job. You say, Alhamdulillah. That was the context, right? Which you are praising Allah. I don't know, you had a baby boy, you know, you got married or something, yeah? Some blessings happen. You say, Alhamdulillah. That praising in that situation for that blessing, right, is known between you and Allah. You see what I mean? It's known between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think that's the reality of it. Is that when you're saying, if you are really attentive in your salah, when you are actually saying Alhamdulillah, deep down in your mind, there's a particular meaning, a particular situation that you have in mind, right? When you're doing that. So this is, you know, it's known between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. And secondly, you know, the issue of genus, right? All types of hamd, right? This is like, you know, allows you to, it's not linked to a specific type of hamd, right? So this is all types of hamd, whether it's a hamd because you got a blessing or someone else got a blessing, right? Whether you're just marveling at His majesty, His power, His oneness. So it's all types of praise that you may have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both meanings are valid, right? And both meanings are correct. Right, so that's the meaning of al. Let's go to the next slide and see. Right. Now, as I was mentioning earlier on, sentences can be, in terms of their meaning, it can be what we call an informative sentence or a non-informative sentence. Right. Here's the rule of thumb to differentiate between informative sentence and non-informative. Informative sentence is a sentence that you are making a statement about the world. Right? And that could be either true or false. Right? Zayd went to the mosque. That could be true, or you could be false. Right? Yeah, that's what we call a informative sentence. Non-informative sentence is not a statement that you are making, a factual statement about the world, whether it's true or false. Is anything other than that. So it could be like commands, it could be questions. For example, if I asked you, did Zayd go to the mosque? You don't say that's true or false. You can't apply true or false. Yeah? Did Zayd go to the mosque? That's a non-informative sentence, right? So jumla khabariya, we call them informative sentence. It's a statement about the world, which could be true or false. And jumla insha'iyya, non-informative sentence, is not a statement about the world, whether it's true or false, it's anything other than that. And what are those sentences? Questions, commands, yeah, prohibitions, requests, all these kinds of things. They're called jumla insha'iyya. Now, with alhamdulillah, right, there's a question. There's a question, what type of sentence is it? Is it a informative sentence, yeah, or is it a non-informative sentence, right? So if we say, you know, it's an informative sentence, alhamdulillah, at the surface of it, it looks like an informative sentence, yeah, you're making a statement about a reality, right? It could be either true or it could be false, right? So, and majority of the scholars, yeah, they would say that it's a informative sentence, yeah. It means that it's a, you know, permanent hamd, and it's a statement about a reality which is true. Now, non-informative means requested to do hamd, right? So here there's an assumption, right, which those who said that it is a non-informative sentence. And they said that this non-informative sentence in the sense that that you want to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to praise. And now it's almost like saying at the in the beginning of it, like an omitted saying, Qul, say. There's like almost like there's an omitted command at the beginning of the surah, an assumed command to say that, okay, you want to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the omission is what? Qul. Right? When you say Qul, say, that becomes non-informative. It's a command. It's commands and prohibitions are non-informative. So here, it's open to the possibility that it is non-informative. Yeah? It's a request. It's a command. So here, you know, now, if you look at both of them, they're not contradictory meanings. Right? If you want to praise Allah, He's telling you how to praise Him. So that's okay. Yeah? And the fact that Allah is praised, you know, irrespective of time and place, who does it? That's also true as well, right? So both meanings are compatible with each other. And so we can say both meanings, they complement each other and they are intended. We're not forced to choose one over the other. So, and it's true, you know, if you just think about the surah, what is this whole surah? This whole surah is actually a dua, isn't it? It's actually, if you think about it, it's a dua. First of all, what are you doing? You are actually praising Allah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Right? You're praising Him, right? And then, you know, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. Then you're asking Him, Yahdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us in the straight path, pass of those that you're pleased with, not with those who are misguided and who you are angry with. So, in the sense, the totality of the surah is actually a supplication. So, in that sense, and dua really is what? It's non-informative, because it's not a statement about the world, whether it is true or not. Yeah, you are making a dua. So both meanings are fine and they are valid and they are complementary.
Okay.
Let's look at the next one. Right. Does it require emphasizing with indeed, inna? Right. Now, inna. This is a particle that you have seen in the Quran over and over again. Right, you know, so you will often find inna Allaha, yeah, inna Allaha ghafurur rahim, inna Allaha samiul alim, and so forth. So inna is used. Now, what is inna? Inna has a special effect. And if you remember, I was talking about earlier on that audience are three types. Yeah, they are open-minded audience, they're your skeptical audience, and they're your rejectors, right? Now, the degree of emphasis that you need depends on who you're talking to, right? So if you're talking to people who are open-minded, you don't need to give them any emphasis at all, right? If you are talking to people who are skeptical, you need a degree of emphasis, right? And if you need to deal with someone who is a rejector, then you need a lot of emphasis, right? So inna is generally used for situations of doubt and rejections, right? So when you actually, and when you're reading the Quran, generally if you find a surah which has a lot of emphasis, no, most likely, highly situation, the audience are rejecters and deniers, right? So you will find that, yeah? But no, that's one of the functions of Inna. Inna has other functions too. And the other thing he's mentioning here, prefixing Inna would change the sentence to informative only. Because if we, for example, said, if we said like, you know, Inna al-hamda, we said Inna al-hamda, Inna al-hamda lillah, then the possibility of the sentence becoming informative and non-informative, it goes away, it restricts the meaning. It makes it only informative. That's one thing. And the point here is making it therefore to combine both meaning of informative and non-informative in Inna isn't used. Because if you use Inna, then it takes away the idea of supplication. Mm-hmm. The supplication is non-informative. Now, so having said that, you know, why hasn't Inna been used? Because who is the audience? Yeah, who is the audience this Quran, this chapter is really addressing? It's not addressing doubters. Yeah, it's not addressing people who are, you know, rejectors. It's addressing people who are believers. So there is no need in this context to use Inna. Yeah. However, you will find elsewhere Inna will have been used because the context is different. And also the absence of Inna allows us to combine the meaning of informative and non-informative as well. Right, I want to quickly go through these slides. Right. Taqdeem wa ta'khir, foregrounding and backgrounding. Right. Used for specification or removal of doubt, both are not applicable here. Okay, let me just go back to this slide here. You know this alhamdulillah, you could say lillahi alhamd. You could actually say lillahi alhamd, right? Now, one of the reasons why you would actually switch them around, yeah, is that if you want to emphasize, yeah, for a particular reason, right? And here, there's no need. It's a bit like Inna. There's no need for emphasizing, right? So the normal word order should actually follow. However, you find elsewhere in the Quran that you will find that this would have taken place as well. And so that's from one angle. The other point is that when you say lillahi alhamd, right, what it does is that it makes hamd only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? You only can make hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah? In lillahi alhamd, it means you only can make hamd to him.
Okay.
You specify it only for him. But we can, you know, praise other people for their good qualities, yeah, for their being kind to you, nice to you, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
So otherwise, what it means that, you know, this appreciation is only for Allah, it's not allowed for anyone else. So if you say, you know, lillahi alhamd, and you want to praise someone else, you know, because other people, there might be favors, etc. And that meaning, you know, is valid, that we can praise others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he in some a verse in the Quran that was a verse, there's a hadith, I don't know the authenticity of this hadith, but it's been mentioned in the hadith. It said, "Man lam yahmadu an-nas lam yahmadu Allah." Anyone who does not praise the people, he has not praised Allah. And there's another variation of that. Anyone who hasn't thanked the people has not thanked Allah. All right. So that's another way of another reason why this foregrounding and backgrounding didn't take place. So lillahi alhamd. Yeah. So that's another benefit of that. It is. It came in At-Tafsir al-Razi. He mentioned a point that the difference between saying alhamdulillah and his saying iyyaka na'budu, which is we're gonna come to that. So he said, why did he bring Allah first in worshipping, and he did not bring iyyaka na'budu in alhamd? Okay, he's saying alhamd carries the possibility of being for Allah or for other than Allah, right? Where in the case of iyyaka na'budu, the ka, you only has been brought before na'budu, because there's no possibility to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where with alhamdulillah, if there is a possibility to praise other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's some more details, but it's getting late. I'm going to skip that, inshallah. And let's see where we are. Yes, so I've just mentioned this here. Why was the name Allah used and not... No, I haven't mentioned this. Why was the name Allah used and not one of his attributes? So if one of Allah's other names, attributes, Al-Khaliq or, Al-Ghafoor was used, then what it will mean that the hamd is only linked to that attribute. Yeah? And by using Allah, his proper name, then it includes all the attributes and all his names. Yeah? So it's most generic. And here it links to the verse, yeah. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. How is it linked to the verse? Exam question.
So the ka links back.
Yeah, the ka links back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyyaka, you. Right? Wa iyyaka nasta'in. And the meaning is very explicit, very clear. Without any shred of doubt. So, okay. So I think we'll stop there. We can have some questions, comments in the next few minutes if you wish. Shall I turn it off? Leave it on?
Leave it on. I'm going to edit it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when you said alhamdulillah, so it can be a praise for Allah and praise for people as well. So is it linked to, like, say, if you do an act of kindness and I say alhamdulillah, and actually this is from Allah who has created you and guided you?
Yeah, I mean, of course, everything. I mean, for example, I say, you're very knowledgeable, mashallah. I'm praising you. Why? I'm praising for your quality of having knowledge. Oh, you're very generous. That was a really great thing that you did. I am praising you. This is hamd. Right? So we can praise. So this is the point. So lillahi alhamd will mean that every act of praise is only for Allah. Right? But you can praise people. You praise people all the time. Yeah. That's the meaning. So, I mean, the power of alhamdulillah, you can see, you can't translate it just like that. Because all of that meaning is in that expression, alhamdulillah, and it's a very weighty statement.
There's a saying, they say, a picture
Yeah.
Paints a thousand words, but in Arabic, it's actually the other way around, isn't it? A word.
Yeah.
Paints a thousand pictures.
Absolutely. Actually. Absolutely. Yeah. This is correct. Yeah. And, I mean, just kind of reflect on, we're saying this, you know, so many times during the day, but how much contemplation, how much thought goes into that statement. You know, it comes off easy off the tongue, but in terms of what is it that we're really saying, that you are, you know, praising Allah. And that is, if you think about the relationship between us and Him is one of that He's created us, He's given us all these favors, is one of hamd. Yeah, it is one of continuous and constant praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a, you know, that's a very important mindset to have, because you know the concept, just think about the notion of God, right? Some people have different notion of God, right? Some people, their notion of God is what? This God, He's created this world and that's it. I have no further relationship. They're still believers. They believe in God, yeah? But they don't do harm to Him. They don't actually praise. Why? Because they don't really understand who is this God, right? He's not some impersonal, unwillful, right? Disinterested God, right? He is who has will, has power, has attributes, right? And that's why, you know, studying the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will increase your hamd of Him, right? Because more you kind of appreciate His knowledge, His wisdom, His justice, what will happen? You will increase in your appreciation of that. So, and you know, that's true for anything, isn't it? If I know someone really well and get to know their good qualities and get to know their characteristics and their favors, you are always in a state of appreciation, right? So the notion of who is God in Islam is very different, right, to other notions of God, right? People have impersonal, you know, some people might believe in God, but they have a very negative view, right? Yeah, God is, you know, He's created us to punish us, yeah, to inflict pain on us, right? It's a very, very negative view they have. So having this appreciation of who Allah is, then it will increase your hamd, your praise of Him.